Everybody, welcome to a Thursday sports on the Bulldog Hour. I'm Harry alongside with Jason 3. Handed off to our good friend Phil Bonatti, live and direct as usual on a Thursday at Fashion Center. Drive out of a Deacon. Again, best furniture you're going to find anywhere. Nothing like it out of California. The great conversation of Phil's show. Some good eats as well. El Paso across from River Park. Phil will be there from 3 to 5 today. And also, you can give him a call, as always, on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. So mark that down. Big start to the 16th week of the NFL season as we have week 16, 17, and 18. Of course, 17-game regular season schedule for each team, but also the one bye week. So 18 weeks, and we're down the home stretch in a game of huge implication tonight, as the Rams and the Seahawks kick it off at Lumen Field at 5:15. We'll join up Westwood One or the Rams Network, either one. And matter of fact, Jorge, you can tell me whether it's the Rams Network or Westwood One. I should have asked you before. But it will be a very important game tonight. And I also want to mention, I brought it up yesterday, I think people are aware that the weather has been just hellacious in the Northwest. I mean, Seattle has been facing floods everywhere, and Lumen Field has taken a real beating. Now it's artificial surface, but even with that surface and even with the tarp on the field, the rains are puddling up everywhere. And also, because of this storm, which won't get out of there until Friday, the winds are going to be up gusting, I think, to 33 miles an hour tonight. So it's going to be wet, cold, and windy. And for the Rams in particular, though they do run the football well, they are not used to it, playing not only in SoCal half the year with their home games, but playing them at SoFi. So this will be interesting, because the winner of this game has a tremendous leg up on the number one seed, and the 49ers will be watching with great interest. And so it's the bookend situation. I'll tell you about it during the schedule a little bit later on, but it opens up with the Rams and the Seahawks, and then the 49ers and the Colts in Indy close out the weekend, and a whole bunch of very important games in between. We'll get to that a little bit later on when we bring you the schedule, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. Now, Jackson with me today, a lot to talk about, particularly in regard to the comments that have been made about whether the group of five belongs in the national playoff going forward. A lot of arrogance, not a surprise, from the P4. So we'll get to that, and we'll also talk basketball with Jackson in just a couple of minutes. But first, other lead dogs, want to spend some time with you, starting with the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We are 1 week away from Christmas, and everybody at KFC knows it can be a very hectic time, and sometime we are busy trying to get ready for the relatives or getting the gifts together or the major meals for next week. You don't have a chance to address meals right now for the family, and right now the local KFCs are going to make it easy for you with the extra crispy festive feast. That is, for $25, an 8-piece offering of golden extra crispy drumsticks and thighs, 2 large sides of mashed potatoes, 4 warm biscuits, and a gravy plate that features classic brown new white peppercorn and new Southwest cheddar gravy. So a great deal for you. Makes it easy. It's a delicious meal. Brings everybody together right now in your family while you get ready for the rest of the extended family to show up, or you're headed somewhere to meet up with them other than your own home, which is always a good idea, as I mentioned yesterday. We used to rent the social halls around town just to keep nobody from having a problem with the family itself. Okay. All right. Now, skip all your stress. Pick up the extra crispy festive feast only at KFC. It's always finger looking good. And we thank the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman for helping us out and being such great supporters across the valley. All right, the other reminders. Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They've been in the Central Valley since 1981. Terrific local people. You see the avocado blue and green trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work even during COVID. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, Roofing, Lee'sAir.com, or 825-5337, 825-LEAS. They afford me the time every day to tell you about the weather, and it has been an ever-changing pattern. We saw the sun yesterday, and today it's around in certain places, and then it's overcast again. But we had mentioned that we have a 4 or 5 or 6 day opportunity of varying degrees of probability about rain. Right now, here's how it settles in. No rain chances today, the way it looks. 53 is the high, 46 the low. And then starting tomorrow, it will be cloudy again and 54. And then as we get to the weekend, there's a legitimate chance in the North Valley and beyond to see rain with a 56 on Saturday, cloudy on Sunday in the metro area, and a 60, and again a chance north of showers. It appears for us in this particular part of the valley, 61 on Monday means a chance of showers, and then we'll have legitimate rain shots Tuesday and Wednesday leading up to what could be a wet Christmas. So right now, if you're in the north part of the valley, you may see something in the next 48 hours or so. For us, temperatures mid-50s to low 60s, and wait for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week, which means Christmas Eve, of course, on Wednesday and Christmas Day. Hopefully we're going to get some rain, because they're already talking about the implication for drought restrictions in the spring. So do your best out there. If the rain is around, be very careful and embrace it, because we haven't had any in a while. Anyway, thanks, everybody, at least, for allowing me the time to tell you about it. One more time, 825-5337, 825-LEAS. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. And again, to reach Phil, mark down that Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430. That is how we'll bring up Jackson Moore in just a moment. The final reminder comes courtesy of another longtime friend, and that's Joe Cruz and his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Talk about him every day, Joe, celebrating the 25th anniversary of this outstanding business. He's over at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. You can give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or he has an email for Gabe, who works for him, gabe.sbs@gmail.com, for more information, or the overview of the business at superiorpipeusa.com. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, all there under one roof. If you're someone from an industrial standpoint working around a valve in any way, shape, or form, meaning might be a plant or maintenance person, might have a tanker delivery service, could be working around a boiler, anybody who relies upon a valve for their financial well-being. If it goes down, look out. Your business is in big trouble, and that's where that financial issue comes into play. What Joe can do for you with his family-friendly business is sit down with you, analyze your situation, give you a same-day estimate, same-day service, if at all possible. If it's a minor problem, they'll fix it right away. If it's a major one, they'll get on it right away and get you back up and running as quickly as possible. That's why he's had such great success over 25 years. He's also been a booster at Fresno State for 3 decades now. And if you have some time after he addresses the needs for your business, he will tell you the best avenue right now to donate to Fresno State is to go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There are 2 links at the top there to click on that are relevant to this, and that's the donate link and the NIL link. I don't need to tell you about NIL. You're well aware of it. But if you're someone who has a business and you want to sponsor an athlete, or if you have a donation, click on that and we'll have the information on how you can get to the proper people at the university. As of July, Fresno State has all of that NIL inner workings within the confines of the university itself, which is a good idea, of course. Under the donate section, take you to first, bulldogfoundation.org, BDF celebrating its 75th anniversary right now. You have Club Red there. That's there for the former student athletes. Under the Giving Societies, you have the Myers Champion Circle and the Green V Society. And under Ways to Give, you have the individual sports clubs. You also have the Valley Co-op, which is critically important. Under the sports clubs, you can select a given sport to give your money directly to. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Ferdy with me on Wednesdays to talk basketball on the board of directors, timeout club. They'd love to have more members. Jack has said call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305 for more information, or go to his email, ferdyjack@AOL.com. Also links there for other sports, for instance, Dugout Club for baseball and other men's and women's sports as well, under ways to give. And then finally, if you have the need for more information, there is that link there. Just click on the one that says more. It'll tell you about tickets and parking for all events on campus. And we thank Joe Cruz for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State the way he has done over these many years. So thanks to Joe. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. I'll tell you about our upcoming schedule for both 1430 and 790 a little later on. Thanks to our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And thanks to the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. All that having been said, on the Lee's Air Hotline, it is our de facto co-host, longtime friend, and the hardest working man in all of show business, it is Sir Jackson Moore. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm just doing nifty, Jackson. It's going to be a very, very important night of football. I also want to mention that the last check about the status of Davante Adams, still being careful with that hammy, and he's officially listed as doubtful. But Lindsey Thury, who is the Rams reporter for ESPN, was just on NFL Live saying, and it was wet, believe me, wet behind her, okay, saying that it's going to be a game-time decision. So where it looks like they might not have Davante, it appears to me that he's going to try everything he can to play tonight. The Rams are kind of stuck in a quandary right now, and that is they know how important this one is to the number one seed, which means not only home field, it means you're the only team that gets a bye in the first week in the conference, but they also don't want to jeopardize Davante for the rest of the playoff run. So we'll see how that plays out, and I'm sure that Phil will have an update for you there. All right, Jackson, before we get started here, I want to talk about special on the board. You guys are still having that offer for the insider board, correct, at barkboard.com?
Yeah, we'll keep that going through the holidays. It's going to be 50% off a year for VIP. It comes out to just $5 a month that way. And so we're gearing up here for bowl game and for Portal Palooza. It's going to break through on January 2nd, and doing our best to keep track of all the inner workings going on behind the scenes before then.
Well, we talked about Davis heading out. Any other further update at the moment, or is it all just to be determined?
Yeah, I don't think there's been anything of public note so far since Jaden Davis announcing for the portal. We'll see. I'm sure there's going to be some more absences and maybe a couple of seniors that don't play in the bowl game, but none of that's quite come out to this point yet.
And, of course, as Jackson was referencing, January 2 is the opening. What is it, the 2nd through the 16th, Jackson? Is that the window right now? Is that it?
Yeah, that's the public portal window, but it's not stopping players from right now declaring that they're going to enter the portal, and a lot of backdoor dealings between agents and whatnot going on. So we're in kind of the quasi-portal window right now, and then you'll see all those official announcements start to come on January 2nd.
So check it out on the board. And again, the insider board, a great value, particularly with the special going on right now. You'll find out about all the movement in the portal and also all the guys committing to Fresno State as well as we roll through the end of the high school season. Now, before we get into Fresno State basketball, because I do want to ask you about, by the way, the women lost last night, of course, against San Diego State. The men will play at UNLV 4 o'clock on Saturday. Very important game on the Mountain West Network. Before we get there, Jackson, I do want to address this issue that is the gift that keeps on giving, unfortunately, and that is after Notre Dame took its toys and went home because it did not get the bid to be in the college football playoff, though, as I mentioned, when we get to next year, there is going to be the stipulation that if the Irish happen, because they don't have a conference affiliation, they have the tangential affiliation, of course, with the ACC, but they don't participate in a conference title game, that if they're in the top 12 in the college football playoff rankings, they automatically get in. That is not the case this year. They got upset, and what that started is the debate about whether those spots taken up by Tulane and James Madison, because they're two group of fives, whether that's justifiable or not. And I had mentioned the other day that Paul Feinbaum said that it's time to get the group of five guys out of there. Now it was said that Tulane and James Madison might be playing for the group of five going forward, meaning how they perform. And they're both big underdogs, of course, coming up this weekend. How they perform might determine what the immediate future is for the group of five. Jackson, if it is almost impossible to get in, meaning no guaranteed slot anymore, if that's what it comes down to in fairly short order, and the only chance you have is to somehow be selected by the committee, if that's the case, if you have then a separate playoff for the group of five or group of six, is that going to be now satisfactory to the rest of the country, to those schools and those conferences and those fan bases? What do you say?
Well, no, but it might be more entertaining than what the Bulls have been turning out to be as of late, and you know, not drawing a whole lot of interest in the seats, at least. I'm sure they're going to forever be big wins on TVs and betting markets, and they're going to keep going as long as they can keep them up. But, yeah, it's, as far as meaning and the value, there's not a whole lot there, and it might be tough to keep. You know, if you've got the best group of five teams playing in the playoff, you're going to have a whole lot of players that are thinking about probably portaling in the offseason and going to the teams that can compete for the national championship in that scenario, and they might not want to risk getting hurt in that. So there is a lot of different dominoes that could happen in that kind of setting. But my hunch says, you know, we're probably, you know, you can see a world where the juggernauts of the college football landscape break off, but I think we're probably closer in the short term to a team or maybe even a 24-team playoff. And at that point, if you're not one of the 24 best teams, no matter what conference you're in, it's tough to justify bending the rules to get teams in at that point.
Well, I think it's inevitable that we're going to go to 16 because I do think the bye for the top four is going to continue to be a source of controversy because, you know, it did not work out the way they did it with Arizona and Boise State ending up with those byes, and that's not going to happen again. And if there is a guaranteed slot for the group of five in the short term as they reconfigure this thing, there's no way if they're going to continue to get squished by three or four or five touchdowns that they're going to be allowed to stay. They won't be precluded in a theoretical sense. They'll just say, you know what, if you happen to be one of the top whatever, top 16, for instance, if that's what, then you get in. Well, you know, the odds are very much you're not going to be in the top 16 the way they value the scheduling and whatever of the Power Four. That having been said, Jackson, as you look at this right now, if it's unsatisfactory, or like you said, you try to break it off, and again, the proviso is out there that ultimately we are going to see the top, the very cream of the crop in the power conferences end up together. So this is something that we're talking about for the foreseeable future, not 10 years from now or whatever. But if they get chased out and you do have then a group of five or group of six playoff and guys start opting out to protect themselves either for professional career or to go get big money from filling a need at one of those P4s. Where then do you go, Jackson? Does the public at large just lose interest in this whole thing?
Yeah, if it's an official split, I think maybe you can keep those players in the fold and have them being competing for a national championship at a lesser level national championship. I think that's something that would have that next tier still interested and keep players involved. I think if you just have the college football playoff and then basically an NIT for some group of five champs, I don't know if that's going to be enough. But again, short term, when you look at the provisions here, it takes me back to the BCS days where there was just absolutely no way. You know, unless you were number one or number two from a non-power conference, you were going to play for the championship, and you weren't getting into the BCS bowl games until they made that provision to let someone in. And you think about, even through that stretch, a lot of teams, a lot of Boise State teams, a lot of Utah teams, a lot of UCF teams, even more, that has legitimate cases to compete for national championships that would have been left out probably even in an expanded playoff situation. And yeah, that's just not really the case right now. I don't think you can say the same thing about Ole Miss or, I mean, about Tulane or James Madison that you could about those teams. But, you know, that's the way the rules are set up right now. And you want to have some sort of provision just to keep the College Football Playoff Committee from purposely keeping one of those teams out. But other than that, you know, if a team from the Group of Five has a big year, they should be in the field regardless of the rules. They're just right now, at least this year, there's not really one of those teams out there.
Well, look, you know the argument, and we've talked about it over and over again. You can say on the one hand that in the Big Dance, which, of course, has been expanded to 68 and may ultimately be up to 96 for college basketball, that you've got blowouts in the first round. You'll get the occasional upset. Basketball is a different animal, obviously, than football. It takes you just one or two guys having a big day and somebody getting in foul trouble or somebody turning an ankle, and it can change everything. But the biggest, of course, response has always been there are a multiplicity of games going on. So if you have one blowout, the networks can switch to something else. So you don't have to worry about it. So if Duke in their heyday was beating somebody by 50 in the first round, except for the folks in that market, nobody else is going to have to put up with that. With the way things are set up, of course, in college football, the paucity of games right now, just, you know, 12 teams, you have four byes, and so you have four games over this weekend, and they're all being played with very little, if any, overlap, which means if you get a blowout, you're stuck watching the damn thing, and that's what everybody says. That's why you can't do this in football the way you can in basketball. That having been said, Jackson, do you find it that unsavory to see a blowout there football-wise, or would you say that that's the nature of the beast, or do you have a genuine sympathy or empathy for that power school that played a tougher schedule that is out because of one of the Group of Five people being in?
Well, you know, I think it depends on how we're looking at this, because we've been, it's for such a long time, it was just two teams, and then it was four, and now it's expanded really quickly. And even within those very restricted brackets, we've seen a lot of blowouts. Even in the 14 playoff, there's been a lot of blowouts. So I don't think you can, I think if James Madison and Tulane get blown out, it's just an excuse to pound on this narrative, because there's been plenty of blowouts in the playoffs. But also, you know, it's, how are we thinking about this? Are we thinking it's, you know, 12 elite teams that are all supposed to be hyper-competitive, or is it like one quarter of the college basketball bracket where you've got your 1 versus 16 where the 1's going to win most of the time and the 2's going to win most of the time, but you're giving everyone a fair shot and every once in a while an upset happens. So, you know, no one complains about the 1 seed blowing out the 16 seeds every year in basketball. That's just the way it is. And you know, maybe if the playoff expands a little bit more, that'll be a little more something that people accept. It'll be more games and not all eyes locked in on that one matchup. So that might offset a little bit of that narrative. But yeah, it's again, a lot of it to me is just circumstantial. You look at the ACC, you know, they really, I think, messed up the way they handled their conference championship. And it's their fault that they didn't get their champion in and two right. five schools passed them up. And then yet they still get a team in because Miami was right there on the bubble. And so this whole conversation has become a lot more interesting, though, with the way that the talent has been redistributed, because for so long it felt like you might have 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 teams that you felt were legitimate championship teams, and now it feels like 1 through 12 is a little more competitive. So 11 and 12 do become a little bit more meaningful now, where it felt like those teams weren't even contenders just a few years ago.
Well, along those lines, and that's why the people that are in favor of the buys for the top four have the stance they do, which is what you're referencing, that if you take the top four, and again, there's always going to be controversy no matter how you try to set that up, whether it's, you know, obviously they don't want to just limit it to conference champions, because sometimes you might have a lesser champion while you have a very deserving second place team somewhere else. Well, they sort that one out, which they have now just said, you know, let's just take the rankings and not worry about whether you won or not. The bottom line, Jackson, is they're figuring that a 5-12 matchup, a 6-11 matchup, et cetera, would be more competitive than having a 1-16 if they went to 16 teams. But if you went to 16 teams, I would think, and I know the argument, it's always, well, you know what? Whoever the 16th team is, if they're replaced by a group of five team, they're going to be mad. Well, I think the rejoinder to that is that if you are that low that there are 15 other teams that are better than you, then maybe you should shut up, okay? But I would think if you went to 16, put them on home fields, the top eight seeds on home fields, and said we're going to guarantee one slot minimum to a group of five school, which would probably be the 16 seed, which means you'd be going to the number one team home venue. I don't see where that's unjust, Jackson, and at least then you've got something to play for. And if the rest of the group of five or group of six want to go ahead and have their playoff with the proviso that the one automatic qualifier doesn't participate there unless they choose to, which would mean they'd be waiving their right to play in the lesser tournament, which I can't imagine they would do, I would think that would be equitable. Do you agree with that? Or are you saying, no, you do not want to see 1-16, 2-15, 3-14, et cetera?
I'd like to see it, especially outside of a few very, very spoiled fan bases, I would say. I would think that would be well received. Imagine if Indiana and Texas Tech were hosting playoff games this week, and it would be bonkers, you know, at those two locations.
Right.
And, you know, instead, they've got to wait another week and then fly at the opposite ends of the country to places where only so many fans can go. No one's crying for Oregon, but just looking at their path to the championship, they got to go to the Orange Bowl, the Peach Bowl, and then Miami again, back to Florida, if they're going to win a title. So I'm sure the fans in Eugene are loving the fact that they're hosting the game, whether it's number 12 James Madison or number 12 Notre Dame or whoever it would have been. They're probably happier at James Madison, so that they've got a little bit of an easier path. So, and I'm also curious to see, last year, all the teams that have buys did not perform very well. So maybe there might be an argument that it's better to have all the teams on the same kind of sync here if some of these teams that have buys struggle again this year.
We've talked so often in the past, if you go to 16, however you're going to do it, that if you have home venues, so the top eight seeds have home sites in game one for everybody, that in that second round, then you have your six traditional bowl games, Orange Rose, Sugar Fiesta, the Cotton Bowl, and can be the Peach Bowl, what have you, that in a rotational basis, you can have four of those be the quarterfinals, the other two can be the semis, and then there can be a separate bidding process for the national championship game. So if Jerry Jones wants it in Jerry World, or as I like to call it, Jonestown, as you know, bring your Kool-Aid, right? That you can do that, and you can make money, and you can rotate the national championship with the highest bidder getting the right to have it. To me, that makes sense. I don't know that sense has always been made by the committee, and I'll ask you one final thing about it. Do you believe in the short term, as they reconfigure this, they will, for political pressure alone, keep that one slot guaranteed for the group of five or group of six? Is it going to have to stay there? Too much criticism, too much of a potential for some legislator in one of the group of six areas to get upset and run to Congress with it? What do you think the powers that be will do at the NCAA?
Yeah, I mean, I would sure like to think they'd keep at least one. We talked about it when they came up with this idea at the top five champs that, you know, it's not that unrealistic that you can have one bad Power Four champion and all of a sudden two get in, and here we are just 2 years into the thing. So that might be an issue, unless, again, it's circumstantial. If you have Boise State and UCF, you know, having the years they did both in the group of five, you know, they should both get in, but maybe they would if they were both in the top 12, you know, the types of seasons they've had in the past decade or so. So, but it would be nice to have at least one guaranteed spot. My concern is if they expand to 16 or 24, it seems like a no-brainer to just let all the conference champions in, but if you make the argument it's just the 16 or the 24, instead of what the FCS does, then you might still only get, or you might get eight teams from the SEC and one from the Group of Five if it's a rough year. So I hope that's not what it turns into.
Well, the last comment Feinbaum made today was, you got to get rid of this stuff where you reward Group of Five teams just because with their lesser schedule, they only lose once or so during the year. And that's unfair to the Power Four guys that are playing a more competitive schedule. Just because you're not beaten, if you're not playing the kind of schedule the others are, you're comparing apples to oranges. And that's, you know, another debate about how by sheer attrition you can get in. Boise State, as we talked, would play that kind of schedule where they had maybe one challenge during the year early. They got past that, like a game at Virginia or whatever. Long as they were undefeated in conference, they were going to have a glowing record and would, by attrition, continue to move up the rankings. So that's another issue. And again, it's the haves versus the have-nots. And the other thing that certainly has come up, as you know, when it was the BCS and you only had a couple of teams, how close Fresno State was in 2001, if they would not have lost the game to Boise State where they broke early up by two touchdowns here, they wouldn't have lost to Hawaii the next week. I guarantee you that. They lost the Hawaii game because of the hangover emotionally from losing to Boise State. 2001 and then 2005, they got jobbed at Oregon at the start of the year, and then that USC game, of course, got away. Now, afterward, they lost the last three behind that. But I don't think that would have happened had they beaten USC. Tells you how close a Group of Five school with a big schedule could have gotten to the national title game. Now, A, nobody plays that schedule that Pat liked to play. And A, plus, it probably wouldn't make any difference anyway, because like you said, the more teams they bring in, the more it dilutes your chances. It's the ultimate irony. The fewer the teams, the better the chance you had, because it was the computers, not a bunch of people in a boardroom. And as long as we have people in a boardroom, Jackson, they're going to favor the big boys, right? No matter what.
Yeah, certainly. And you also have, I think it's tough for what we're seeing right now, teams like that Fresno State team, again, the Boise's, that run they had. It seemed like the Mountain West or the WAC, you know, there's always at least one team that had a huge season and had a case, but now we're seeing it's tough for the top teams in the Group of Five to keep some of that top-end talent, and it's easier for the bottom teams in the Group of Five to not be so bad and to get good or at least decent within a year or two with the portal. So we're not seeing really any team at this level make a huge undefeated run and have that type of season even within their conferences. So I think it's going to take a team or two to really crack the code and take a step ahead, whether it's bolstering their NIL or finding a way to keep coaches from fleeing because they're moving even faster now. Some way for there to be a Gonzaga-like football run from the rest of college football world. I think that's got to be the next iteration of what seemed to be an annual deal in college football.
Well, along those lines, we've talked a lot about Texas Tech and the $4 billion that their benefactor has. And I'm not saying he's spending it all on Texas Tech, but it just seems like it sometimes. All right. It would be fascinating if there were that kind of well-heeled benefactor who happened to be an alum and a fan of a Group of Five football school and decided to spend all of his money to make that team the best in America by simply opening up the purse strings more than anybody else. I don't see it happening, but it would certainly be an interesting sociological experiment, that's for sure. By the way, speaking of NIL, I'm sure you've noticed, Jackson, that Vanderbilt, which is an outstanding academic institution, but has always traditionally, except for baseball, been a bottom feeder in the SEC, all of a sudden Vandy is a viable football team and a viable basketball team.
It's time now for
wild, wild stab where that money has come from, Jackson. You know what I mean? I don't think Vandy decided to make sports a higher level of import. I think some NIL people did. Is that the truth of it?
Yes, and I think it was kind of a perfect storm. I've just been following some of the staff there, and I think they were in position to improve things and then collided with NIL and portal. It all came at the right time for them.
We'll see if it's sustainable or not. That's the big issue about NIL in certain places. All right, to be determined. And by the way, Steve, I appreciate the note about Aaron Taylor, about the state of college football. I'll try to get to that when I have a little bit more time in the ensuing weeks. By the way, I do want to mention, I hope that Panish is available tomorrow. I've been a lot of questions about Rob Reiner, and of course, Brian knows the situation well there, and we get a quick comment about that a little bit off of sport before we get back to everything with Brian. And next week, we'll have a Monday show leading up to Phil and then the 49er game, but we will not be on the rest of next week because of the holidays, so we'll get there when we can. And by the way, Jackson will be with me Monday because Paul has a commitment that day. All right, speaking of Monday, Jackson, when we talk Monday, are we going to be talking about a Fresno State win basketball-wise at the Thomas and Mack on Saturday? What say you, old crystal ball aficionado?
Yeah, I think the Bulldogs have a shot. I believe they'll be underdogs by a decent amount, but not an unwinnable amount. I mean, UNLV just comes off of a loss against Tennessee State, and the Rebels have been tough to read. Yeah, they just beaten Stanford on the road, and then they come home and lose to Tennessee State. So it's just, you don't know which kind of version of the Rebels you're going to get, and almost to the Bulldogs to a degree. You're not sure if the threes are going to be falling or not. I feel like two very different teams when those shots are falling or not. So, but I think that's kind of the positive thing going into conference play is that there's a lot of these Mountain West teams that aren't nearly as consistent as they've been, and Fresno State's got a higher ceiling, and you go into these games feeling like you've got a shot compared to the last couple of years. Most teams, especially on the road, just felt like you're hoping not to suffer any injuries the way things were going last year.
Talking with Ferdy yesterday about the amount of time the Bulldogs have, a couple of 10-day gaps, one on each side of that UNLV game, and then they've got the challenge of Utah State. Does the Utah State arrival here early in the conference year put extra import on this UNLV game, Jackson, or do you say, you know what, as we've talked, it's all a reboot right now and you got roughly 20 games now to prove your case if you're Vance Wahlberg and this coaching staff, and it is so much how you start, although it'd be a really good idea to win Saturday prior to Utah State, but it certainly is, no matter what you have done, good, bad, or indifferent, previously in the year plus, you have got to be very competitive in this conference if you think you're going to stay the course in the long term. Is that the fair view of this thing from the coaching staff's perspective?
I believe so. I think short term, it would just be nice to get the win against UNLV for probably attendance reasons. You know, if you've got a win over UNLV in 10 days to promote one of the best teams in the conference coming to the Save Mark Center, might be a pretty decent turnout, especially on December 30th should be people that can get out there and at a convenient time. But you know, if you're going in on a four-game losing streak with 10 days to sit on that, you know, that might be tough to get the excitement going for what would be a pretty big game at home. Long-term, again, the Bulldogs need to show improvement. Of course, they've got the six wins they've matched last year already, and shouldn't take much to get over that hump and get a few more, but I think you want to be competitive on a regular basis. And there's a few road trips that look pretty daunting on the schedule, but otherwise it seems like there's a lot of winnable games, and they got to find a way to string them together. Because if they only hit on a certain clip and they finish conference play with maybe six wins or so, it's probably not going to get too much excitement going. But there's going to be a lot of opportunities out there, and if they can steal a few of them, it can take too many of those to get to about 500 and move up the standings to a spot that the Bulldogs haven't been in a while.
Are you going to be threading for the game 4 o'clock on Saturday? How are you going to do that?
Yes, I'll be threading that game and we'll keep that going. I'll have another eyeball on college football playoffs, but I will definitely be tracking the Bulldogs at the Rebels.
Again, 4 o'clock Mountain West Network. And the final question, as you just swerved into nicely, anybody going to be upset in this first round, the higher seeds? I mean, admittedly, there's some tighter seeds, and I'm not so much talking about Tulane or James Madison winning. I don't think so. But in the other two games that you talked about, are we going to see somebody get bumped off? Is Miami going to bump off Texas? What are we going to have?
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing either James Madison or Tulane pulling it off. But, again, not to say that the group of five couldn't. I just don't think these are necessarily the two teams to do it. I look at Texas A&M. I think they're probably the team that's best relative to their seed. If they had just beaten Texas, they certainly wouldn't be a seven seed. I think they're going to take care of business. But Alabama and Oklahoma, that's going to be a fun one. And I could certainly see the Crimson Tide pulling that one off on the road. I think Kalen DeBoer, with all this extra time, the game plan is going to be a real fun one to see what Alabama cooks up for that one.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. We'll have the games for you radio-wise over the weekend. Jackson, I appreciate it. And, again, I hope people take you up on the offer and have a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday. Take care, my friend.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, DeFacto co-host Jackson Moore. We'll take a break, come back with the schedule, and get you ready for Field and Fashion Furniture, and then the Rams and the Seahawks as a very, very important week 16 of the NFL gets started on our air. Take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN.
Welcome back. About 5 minutes from the show, and handed off the greatest outstanding show behind the bench. 2 hours today. As always, at Fashion Furniture on a Thursday. Again, at Paso, Frost, and River Park. Great conversation with Phil's
show. You can reach him on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Also, some good eats when Phil is around. There's no doubt about that. And the best furniture on the planet. Nothing like it in all of California. Stop by. Take a look at the furniture. Say hello to Phil. Give him a call. Even if you're standing next to him, take out your cell and give him a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, or I guess ask him a question directly. He'll be there until 5 o'clock today. Again, El Paso, across from River Park. Now, very busy schedules, and we're afforded the time by our good friend Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, every day to tell you about the upcoming schedule. Again, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, of course, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or PrecisionEng or PrecisionEng.net. Either way, want to make sure you know how to get to it on the web. And Ed has done a great job for Fresno State over the years in fundraising, particularly for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State. Ed is a proud graduate there. And again, the goal, unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years with Ed's fundraising. As far as the schedules go for both 1430 and 790, an incredibly busy time now. I was just mentioning that we'll only be on tomorrow and then next Monday because we have so many bowl games lined up. But also the National Football League kicks off tonight, week 16, rainy, windy, and cold. Seattle tonight for the Rams and the Seahawks. The division very much at stake tonight, though the 49ers still have a chance. By the way, I did want to mention this. Our longtime friend and outstanding announcer of the 49ers, Greg Papa, who has been fighting a blood cancer issue, a very, very serious, life-threatening issue that came up out of nowhere over the summertime. Greg has recovered enough. He's in remission right now that though he can't travel by plane, he can go to the home games, and he will be back, not for the game at Indy coming up on Monday, but he'll be back on our air on the 49er Network for the final two games at home against Chicago and Seattle. And also, with the Super Bowl being in Santa Clara and the chance that the 49ers might host a playoff game or two, or maybe the Rams will, Greg, if he can drive, will certainly be in those games as well. But the biggest thing is that he's feeling better. And I know he's not out of the woods yet, but we're so pleased because the first announcement, the diagnosis was a very dire one for him. And thank goodness that he had an older brother who was a 12 out of 12 match for all the pointers that they need when they do those particular procedures where they drain the blood out of your system and replace it with another. So we're very happy about that. And the 49ers will be watching closely tonight, and then they'll play Indy on Monday, and then Greg will be back with the team beginning next week. Anyway, Rams and the Seahawks tonight. Davante Adams, a game-time decision with that hammy. Awfully tough to play in the wet, in the rain. With the wind out there, it's going to be tough, and the cold, and we'll see. I don't think he's going to play, but knowing Davante, he probably wants to. The Rams would love to have him there, but they also don't want to jeopardize the rest of the playoff run. So we'll see. That game, 5 o'clock for us, 5:15, they will kick it off. Also, Phil will be out at McLean tonight for Clovis. Well, actually, that'd be interesting. For Central East and McLean basketball game at 6:30 tonight on 790. Stay tuned for that. Also, speaking of 790, college football playoffs coming up this first round. The Alabama-Oklahoma game tomorrow will be on 1430. But the three games on Saturday, the Miami-Texas A&M game, was just talking to Jackson about it, Tulane-Ole Miss, and then James Madison-Oregon, that triple header will all be on 790 because 1430 will have the two NFL games, the Bears and the Packers, the Eagles and the Redskins, and the Redskins and the Commanders, sorry, okay. And, of course, then the Raiders will be on Sunday. We'll also have the Sunday night game, and then I mentioned the mentioned earlier, the 49ers and the Colts on Monday. That's Major Wager Monday for us, which means me and Ed's Victory Grill, Granite Park, Cedar and Dakota, Carter and the whole gang there. Great time, great food of me and Ed's, the great atmosphere, giveaways, and a very, very important game for the 49ers. They cannot look past Phillip Rivers and the Colts. If they do, then they're facing a real tough circumstance with two potential Super Bowl participants coming in, also fighting for position, the Bears and the Seahawks at Levi's. So we'll see how that plays out. So a really busy weekend for us on both 1430 and 790. Also keep in mind, Phil, normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday at the time that today is 3 to 5 will normally be 3 to 6 the rest of the time, depending upon the play-by-play, although he'll also be preempted next week. That's his show Behind the Bench. So check that one out. You can also give him a call on the Lee's Air hotline, again, 559-320-1430. Paul Metters has two fine shows, Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics on 790, our sister station, The Deuce, Wednesdays from 5 to 6, and then the long-running show on 1430 on Saturday morning, Central Valley Sports Report, live from First String Sports. We're with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, T-D-A-D, the number 1 at att.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcast there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. And then finally, I want to remind you one more time about our friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They know it's a very busy time of year. We're a week away from Christmas, and sometimes we're getting ready for Christmas and the relatives and all of that stuff. You forget about meals for your family right now. Because of that, they have a great deal for you at the local KFCs. For just $25, you can get 8 pieces of golden extra crispy drumsticks and thighs, 2 large sides of mashed potatoes, 4 warm biscuits, and a gravy flight that features the classic brown, the new white peppercorn, and the new Southwest cheddar gravy. Great deal. It's delicious. Easy for you to stop on in and grab off that meal for $25. So skip the stress of the holidays right now and grab off the extra crispy festive feast. As always at KFC, it's finger licking good. Thanks to everybody at the local KFCs. Thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, and everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. One more time, give Phil a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Rams and the Seahawks tonight on 1430. McLean and Central East on 790. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks to Jackson Moore. I will talk to Brian Fanish tomorrow. Phil is coming up from Fashion Furniture. Stop by and see him. El Paso across from River Park. This is KFIG Fresno.